morning, I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, inside the effort to pass Ukraine and Israel funding in the Senate. Number two, we've got some news behind the scenes of the U.S. pullout of Afghanistan. And number three, Speaker Mike Johnson heads to Columbia University. All right, let's get into it. We have a jam-packed Punchbowl News AM newsletter this morning. Looking at the pact between Schumer and Mitch McConnell as they locked arms to pass the foreign aid package. Late Tuesday night, the Senate overwhelmingly passed a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, finally bringing to an end Congress's month-long standoff over Ukraine aid. The legislation also requires TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, within a year or face a U.S. ban, and it authorizes the seizure of Russian sovereign assets to be used for Ukraine's reconstruction. Here's how the vote shook out. It was 79-18, which sends the massive national security package to President Joe Biden's desk. It's interesting. 31 Republicans voted for the bill this time, compared to just 22 who supported a similar version back in February. Senate Republican Conference Chair John Barrasso was the only member of the GOP leadership to oppose it. There were three Republicans who were absent: Senators Rand Paul, Tommy Tuberville, and Tim Scott. Biden said he'd sign the legislation today so that arms shipments to Ukrainian forces could begin this week. So a couple of interesting dynamics. First of all, let's talk about the Trump bump. Interestingly, some GOP senators believe that former President Donald Trump actually enabled passage of this bill in the end, or at least gave some political cover to those who flipped from no to yes. While Trump has declared his opposition to new Ukraine aid, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee didn't try to kill the measure. Remember that when he did so with a bipartisan border security deal a few months ago, Trump went out against it, and then the entire effort totally tanked. Instead, this time Trump issued a vague statement about European nations doing more to help Ukraine, and Trump later defended Speaker Mike Johnson amid calls from some hardline GOP conservatives to topple the speaker. To many Senate Republicans, that was as much of a green light as they'd get from Trump to vote for this bill. Senator John Cornyn, who's running to replace Mitch McConnell as Senate GOP leader, said his interpretation of Trump's remarks was that he's supportive of it. Cornyn also said that Johnson was a profile in courage for putting Ukraine funding on the House floor after months of delay. So an interesting look here into the kind of the dynamics and relationships that allow for the passage here. So let's talk about Schumer behind the scenes. Republican infighting over Ukraine dominated the headlines, but the key to passing this bill was that House and Senate Democrats remained united on the issue. Mitch McConnell even pointed this out Tuesday as he was lamenting the GOP divisions. For his part, Senate Majority Leader Schumer offered strong praise for McConnell as the Senate prepared to vote on Tuesday night, showing how important that leader-to-leader channel had become. We had an interview with Schumer, and he said, "McConnell and I locked arms on this. We saw it the same way early on." Shortly after the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, McConnell approached Schumer and asked him not to separate Israel aid from any Ukraine funding. This was in McConnell's interest because it insulated him from his party's division over Ukraine and made any aid package easier to pass. Schumer would also eventually face progressive anger over the staggering number of Palestinian casualties from Israel's military operations in Gaza. Schumer said, "We made a pact that we were never going to split them, and that pact never broke in all the times the House and some of the righties in his own caucus were saying just do Israel." In the ensuing months, Schumer and McConnell spoke multiple times per week to strategize over how to get a comprehensive aid package through the Senate. The two grew closer over their shared desire to get it over the finish line. In the meantime, they were able to get government funding and FISA reauthorization done too. And let's talk about TikTok. In mid-March, after the House passed its TikTok bill, four key lawmakers spent an hour in a skiff to map out a strategy for passing the bill in the Senate, we're told. That included Representatives Mike Gallagher and Raja Krishnamoorthy, the chair and ranking member of the House's China Select Committee, They met with Senate Intel Committee Chair Mark Warner and Vice Chair Mark Rubio on the issue. Warner came out in support of the House bill and worked to get it through the Senate, eventually winning over a skeptical Senate Commerce Committee Chair Maria Cantwell. The divestiture period was lengthened from 6 months to a year at Cantwell's request. All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning. Max Cohen is reporting on some news here. Transcribed interviews of top State Department officials reveal how the rapid fall of Afghanistan in the summer of 2021 took the Biden administration by surprise as they strive to maintain a diplomatic presence in Kabul. The House Foreign Affairs Committee on Wednesday released interviews with senior advisor Ned Price, then acting Undersecretary for Management Carol Perez, and Chief of Staff Susie George. The state officials' testimony reveals how fast-moving the situation in Afghanistan was as the United States prepared to withdraw its combat units in adherence with the Doha Agreement negotiated under former President Donald Trump. State leadership wanted to keep the U.S. Embassy in Kabul open right up until the Afghan president fled the country on August 15, 2021. The transcript release is the latest step in House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Mike McCaul's investigation into the disastrous U.S. withdrawal. As other House GOP oversight efforts flounder, it's important to note here, McCaul's probe into Secretary of State Antony Blinken is seen as a more serious pursuit. Max has a lot more on his key takeaways on all of what the different conversations and interviews brought forward, as well as the administration's view that in a statement, they told Max it was the correct decision to end the Afghan war. Miller also praised the state officials who had been interviewed for working to evacuate U.S. citizens and Afghan allies. All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. This is going to be something we are watching very closely today. Speaker Mike Johnson will be heading to Columbia University in New York to speak with Jewish students in the wake of pro-Palestinian protests happening on campus. Johnson will hold a press conference at 3:45 to discuss what's happening on America's campuses. His visit comes as college campuses across the nation are grappling with student protests over the Israel-Hamas war. Congress approved more than $26 billion in new Israeli aid on Tuesday night, while also backing humanitarian support for hundreds of thousands of Palestinians trapped by the Gaza fighting. Since last Wednesday, Columbia University students have set up tent encampments to express solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. Protesters have also called for the school to divest in Israel and a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Columbia University in particular has attracted national attention, prompting bipartisan calls for the university's president to step down. Dozens of protesters have been arrested amid a rise in anti-Semitic harassment and intimidation. The scrutiny comes after Columbia's university president recently testified on Capitol Hill, where she condemned anti-Semitism and defended her record of cracking down on the issue. This has gotten a lot of interest from the Hill. House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik led a letter to the Columbia president this week calling on her to resign. The letter was signed by every New York House Republican. Other lawmakers have also visited Columbia's campus, including New York GOP reps Anthony D'Esposito and Mike Lawler, on Tuesday, as well as Representatives Josh Gottheimer, Jared Moskowitz, Kathy Manning, and Dan Goldman on the Democratic side. The four Democrats called on the school's leadership to discipline students who have allegedly harassed Jewish students. Senator John Fetterman went as far as to compare the campus protests to the infamous 2017 pro-white supremacy rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. As we reported Monday, we expect more hearings on the topic of anti-Semitism on campuses by the House on Education and the Workforce Committee. Lawmakers may also start to introduce bills to strip federal funding from schools they feel aren't doing enough to fight anti-Semitism. All right, with that, thank you so much for listening. There is a ton going on Capitol Hill. We are going to be very busy with a couple of events next week. You can go to the Punchbowl News Events Hub. Check those out. You can RSVP to join us in person or watch virtually. That's at punchbowl.news. As always, we appreciate if you share the Daily Punch on social media. Tell your friends and family. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also subscribe to our daily morning newsletter, which is free at punchbowl.news. All it takes is an email. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody. Thanks so much.